minutes that we have together, can I ask you to close your eyes and bow our heads? Let's focus on Jesus. And if you want to lift your hands to heaven, feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, before we ask you for anything, we thank you for everything. Thank you that we're here today. Thank you that we're able to come together in your presence, Lord. And as we listen to your word, Heavenly Father, we give you full permission for your Holy Spirit to permeate every cell in our body, every attitude and thought, every moment of this word, Lord. I pray that there would be healing as your word is spoken. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that there would be repentance and miracles as your word is spoken. I pray, God, that there would be such a shift and change in the spiritual world as your word is spoken
amen.
Today, Heavenly Father. As always, we come before you humbly and we ask you for your forgiveness, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who have sinned against us. We confess that we need you, Lord. We are not proud. We are humble in your presence. Your word says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Lord, we need your grace today. So for those of us who need to hear you, Lord, speak. For those of us who need to feel you, Lord, bring your comfort in this place. For those who need wisdom and instructions, help us, Lord, to understand what you want us to do.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we give you full permission.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, be the center of it all.
Amen.
We love you. We believe your word. We trust you at your word. And we thank you in advance for whatever you choose to do today, Lord. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who was here last week? Anyone here? All the holy people. Hallelujah. If you weren't here last week, that's okay. But we are looking at part two of a word called When You Don't Know What To Do. So there are situations that we have in life all the time where we don't know what to do. When you parallel park your car and everyone is watching and you're holding up the whole road. That ever happened to anyone? Only me?
Yep.
Only people who can't drive properly. I have a Mercedes, thank you Jesus. But it's a 2007 Mercedes on its last legs. So my car doesn't have sensors. It doesn't have on the dash a camera to say that you're backing up. I just know I've backed up into something because I hear it. It goes, and there's loads of scratches and scrapes. We don't know what to do. Do you know when you send a voice note and you're talking and then you forget the reason why you're sending the voice note and you keep talking anyway? Anyone else like that?
Yeah.
Only me?
You.
Only me, all right. If you get it, do you know what happened during the week? My washing machine broke.
Oh.
So if there's a smell off me, you just gotta deal with it. I'm joking, by the way. But if you get a new washing machine, the symbols on it are like ancient hieroglyphics, aren't they?
Yes.
You're trying to figure it out. Thank God for ChatGPT. We got help. There's loads of trivial situations like that where we don't know what to do. But we also know in life there's situations all the time that are big and we don't know what to do. Sometimes it's great. What school do you send your kids to? What should you do with all the money that you get from the Lord out of nowhere? People want that today?
Yeah,
me, money, yeah. But sometimes it's more sinister things. It's a health report, it's a bill, it's a conversation. And what we want to do is what God wants. We don't want to do things on our own understanding. We want to do things God's way. If we're Christians and we love the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So that's what we're looking at today. When you don't know what to do, part two. And last week, we looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in the Old Testament. And if you missed it, here's a little recap. It's about this guy called Jehoshaphat. Say it with me.
Jehoshaphat.
Look at you. Very posh. Come on. He is the king of Judah and of God's people. This is the good guy, and these are God's people. And what we read last week was four things that happened. The first was there was a surprise attack on King Jehoshaphat. He was doing the work of the Lord. He was telling people in different lands, come back to God, repent. And he was putting judges in place to govern them. So he was doing God's work. And all of a sudden, he gets wind that there's three tribes coming out to get him. Doesn't that happen in our lives? You're doing the work of God. You're not sinning. You're not trying to run from God. You're doing God's work. And then there's a surprise attack out of nowhere. That's what happened to King Jehoshaphat. The second thing that we learned last week in reading this was it was fighting in the family. These three tribes that were coming against him were his cousins. It wasn't strangers. It was people who knew him and knew him well. And a lot of the time, that's how the enemy gets us. It's not strangers. It can be. But usually where it hurts the most is the people we love the most. Isn't it? We see it across scripture. The first conflict, the first fight ever in the Bible is between who? Cain and Abel, two brothers, and they end up killing each other. Or killing one because the other. It's all over scripture, these family feuds. But here's what we see with King Jehoshaphat. He says in 2 Chronicles 20 that he was terrified by the news and he begged God to help him. That's how he reacted to what went on. He had these normal human emotions, like us all, but he didn't go to a website, he didn't go to a friend, he didn't do more work. What did he do? He went to the Lord. And that's what we're to do, brothers and sisters. Don't panic when you don't know what to do. And we looked at last week that he had a prayer that I'm calling a crisis prayer. If you're in a crisis today, you're in the right place. Amen?
Amen.
Here's his crisis prayer. He firstly goes to God and tells God about his character. He gathers all the people of Judah in the temple, by the temple of the Lord, because that's where the presence of God was. And he tells them to fast and he prays publicly. He doesn't go at home and say a prayer. He gathers all the people of God in the presence of God and says, we're going to pray. So he goes, God, this is your character. You are mighty and you are powerful, God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He says that God is going to rescue us and God is going to save us. That's God's character. The second thing he does in his prayer is he talks about God's faithfulness. He says, God, didn't you do this? And God, didn't you do that? Because we forget the miracles that God has done in our lives. We forget God's faithfulness. So if you're in a crisis, remember what the Lord has done for you. And the third thing he does in his prayer is he admits that he needs God. He doesn't go and say, God, I'm terrified. God, tell me what to do. It's his character, his faithfulness, and then, Lord, I need you. That's a good crisis prayer today, amen?
Amen.
And the final thing we looked at last week is keep your eyes on God. Verse 13 says this, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on. That's how he finishes his prayer. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. And what we read in verse 14 is this, just as they pray this, we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes on a guy called Jahaziel. As I said, this is Old Testament. You and I have access to the Spirit of God right here and right now. But in the Old Testament, there was periods of time, up to 400 years, where God did not speak. So God speaking through this man is unbelievable. So the Lord comes and speaks on Jahaziel, and we're going to look at what he says in a minute. But last week we stopped here, because this man's name means something. And names in the Bible are important. So we read, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on. And this man, his name means God sees. Before God speaks a word, before he tells them what to do, God sees. And brothers and sisters, God sees you. He sees what you're going through. He's seen everything that's going on. Before God speaks today, let it be known, he sees your situation.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to pick up from this story of the army coming and getting these guys, the people of God. They've just prayed. So we're going to read 2 Chronicles in a minute. There's one word that I just want to explain the meaning of, because when I read it years ago, I didn't know what the meaning was. So never mind if your first language isn't English. But this word is plunder. Say it with me.
Plunder.
Plunder. So it's army's belongings. And in the Old Testament, this was gold and silver and horses and tents and food and weapons. This was everything that you could need for battle. So when this comes up in the scripture, this is what it's talking about. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15 to 30. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you bless it today as we read it. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here we go. Verse 15. So we just read, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jahaziel said, Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is for you today. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but who?
God.
Come on. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Not your victory, the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord. Watch it, they bowed and then they stood. The God of Israel with a very loud shout, hallelujah. Early the next morning, the army of Judah with King Jehoshaphat went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, King Jehoshaphat stopped and said, Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. So before they even get to the battle, their king, their leader, is stopping them and speaking into them again. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king Jehoshaphat appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Not weapons, not horses, singers. Singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Read it with me. Give thanks to the Lord. We're going to do it like them, yeah? Come on. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Can someone give some thanks to the Lord in this place? Does his faithful love endure forever? Come on. 1 second service, yes. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the three ones, to start fighting among themselves. So when the army of Judah with Jehoshaphat arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. Hallelujah. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with King Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. And here's the ending. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Brothers and sisters, the victory wasn't the gold and silver and tents. The victory was the peace of God and the rest of God. It talks about in the book of Hebrews, we're to do our best to enter God's rest. There's a rest that only comes from the Lord. So this is the word of the Lord. It's a good one, isn't it? It's an easy one to preach. Not out. So when we don't know what to do, here's point one. Ready, steady, go. Go. I don't know about you, but when I'm at traffic lights and there's people ahead of me and it's on red, the light is red, people do all sorts at a traffic light, don't they?
Yeah.
People be on their phones. People be picking their noses. You're laughing, but it happens. Sometimes you see if there's a couple, they're even kissing at a red light.
Yep.
Okay, over here, that's the couple. Praise God. In the Bible, it says that we are to be ready at any time to tell someone about Jesus. In the Bible, it says we're to be ready at any time for the Lord's second coming. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're meant to be ready spiritually. But a lot of the time, we're not. Yeah. Here's what we read. Jahaziel has this prophecy. So let's go down to the red bit. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours. Battle's not yours, it's God's. But you will not even need to fight. Watch the red. Take your positions then. Stand still. Okay. And watch the Lord's victory. Oh, you get to watch it. Hallelujah. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So in one breath, the Lord is telling them, stand still. And in the next breath, he's telling them, go, isn't he? And sometimes as Christians, this is where we can get confused, is we have decisions to make in our lives, and we're saying, do I go? Do I wait? Do I need more confirmation? Can I break it down to you very easily? Unless God tells you not to do something, if it's very clear from the Lord, if God has told you to do something, just go.
Yeah.
If the Lord does not want you to do it, he'll stop you, don't worry. He'll send the signs, he'll send the wonders. You might be blind to them, you might be, oh, I'm doing my own thing, that's different. But God will stop you. But here's what we learn from this passage of scripture. He's saying when you go out to see the fight, you won't need to fight. When you get to the battle, that's when you stand firm. Watch what the Lord does. But in the second part of it, it's going, but you have to go and see the battle. Why didn't God let them stay at home if God was going to win anyway? Because that's what I'd want. If I know, God, you're going to win this for me, I'll do it in the comfort of my own home. I'll have my Crocs on and my snuddy and a nice drink. Anyone else? I don't want to go to the battlefield. But God wants us to step in faith into these places. God wants you to step out into that battlefield so you get to see the miracle. So you can't take any credit. That you get to watch what God can do. That's why he leads you there. Brothers and sisters, God's promises come with instructions. Whatever God has promised you, you still have to walk in faith. You still got to show up. It says in Psalm 23, verse 15. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. We know that one, don't we?
Yeah.
Famous one. Verse 15 says, he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. You got to sit at the table. You might need to look them eye to eye. But watch the Lord fight. You won't have to say a word. You won't have to do anything. Because the battle belongs to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Here's the second point when you don't know what to do. Humility comes before victory. We already quoted it this morning. 2 Peter talks about it. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The moment you're proud with God, watch what God will do. Make you humble very quick. He'll bring you down. Here's what we read with King Jehoshaphat. They get this word, this prophetic word, and then King Jehoshaphat, what does he do? Bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same thing, worshipping God. God had given them the instructions, but that was it. The army is still coming. No miracle has happened. No victory has been won. Circumstances haven't changed. But yet their response to hearing the Lord speak is to worship, to bow. And there's so many people that the Lord speaks to. I see it time and time again. And instead of being on their knees thanking God that he spoke to them, they come and they complain that what God said they don't want to do. Brothers and sisters, when God tells you to do something, when he speaks to you, can we be humble enough to give thanks for it?
Hallelujah.
The situation doesn't change, but God speaks. Again, this is Old Testament. When God speaks, it's like once in a generation if they're lucky. But we get access to God every day, and sometimes we take the Lord's voice for granted because we're used to God speaking. but they're not. God speaks. The same God who spoke the earth into existence speaks into your situation today. That's who speaks to you. That's who gives you instructions. That's who's saying, go. The God who spoke the earth. And when I was reading this scripture for King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there isn't any mention about his army. So I'm going, there's three armies coming against him and his kingdom. And I'm going, well, what does he have in the physical? We know he has the Lord. That's the most important thing. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, if you count all his armies, he has 1.1 million men. That's not a small army. But not once does he mention what he has in the physical in chapter 20. Because this is the point. God wins battles. You can have everything in the physical. There's people here today, and hallelujah, the Lord has blessed you. You have the money. You have the legal team. You have the education. You have the connections. But the Lord would say to you, I win the battle. It's none of those things. Jehoshaphat had the right order in place. He honored the Lord. He led the people well. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. But we will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. God wins our battles, brothers and sisters. Here's the third thing when you don't know what to do. Later can be better. Any people late in general? Hands up. Anyone want to say? Okay, the front row, I appreciate the honesty. People lying in the house of the Lord, like, come on. Later can be better. Some people are always late, aren't they? You tell them a time, add an hour onto it. Oh my days. They're always going, I'm under pressure. My back is up against the wall. It's going, no, you just can't tell time. That's what's going on. But later can be better. Here's what we read in the scripture. After consulting the people, King Jehoshaphat appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Read it with me again. Come on, it's good. Give thanks
to the Lord.
It one more time. A bit more pizzam. This is God, like, you know that. Come on. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love
endures forever.
Hallelujah. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. It was their praise to God that won this battle. Where else do we read this in scripture? Paul and Silas in jail? Their worship broke the chains? Brothers, we are not fighting in the physical, it's the spiritual. Your greatest weapon is your worship. If you are heading into a battle, whether that's tomorrow morning with the boss in work, your worship is what's going to win that battle. Your worship to the Lord. And the Lord caused them to start fighting among themselves. Hallelujah. There's been situations in my life where, particularly work-wise, before I worked for the church, by the way, just to caveat that, where there have been people over me in leadership, and I'm going, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to survive. I'm struggling. They were bullies. They were manipulators. They were stopping me from getting a promotion to get a mortgage. God can remove people like that. And what I used to have to do, and still need to do, every single morning, I would worship the Lord on my way into work. I would pray for my enemies, which at the time were my bosses, the manager. Do you ever do that? That will humble you real quick. So like, I don't want to pray for them. They're wrecking my head. The Lord can cause things to happen. And you might say in the physical, that will never happen. Watch what the Lord will do. Here's what we read. So when the army of Judah with King Jehoshaphat arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, stop there. They're not even on the battlefield. They're still looking to the wilderness. They're looking out onto it. They're not even there yet. They saw what? Dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. We read at the start, stand firm. The Lord will fight for you. They don't even get to the fight. They're late to it. The fight is over. The battle is won. And I was praying this week, and I believe the Lord would say to people who are expecting to go into a battle soon, I'm on about the next week, the next month, whether that's a court date, whether that's a meeting with the boss, whether that's an appointment with someone, and you're bracing yourself for a fight. But it's been delayed, it's been rescheduled, it's been put off, and you're discouraged and frustrated and confused and saying, Lord, what are you doing? Here's what the Lord would say to you today, if that's you. Here's what he would say. God delays you to deliver you. These delays have been that you show up at that meeting, that you show up at that court date or that appointment, and you don't even have to fight because the battle will already be won. You show up and it's figured out. It's sorted. You think you're going in and having to fight the boss or speak before the judge, and the Lord would say to you, the battle belongs to me. It's won. You're going to show up and God will deliver you. Is there anyone here that testifies to that? That's them. Hands up. Okay, will you stand wherever you're at? Let's pray for these people. Come on, let's pray before the Lord. And if they're around you, will you put a hand out to them? The same Holy Spirit in me is the same Holy Spirit in you. Do we believe that, church?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Let's pray for them. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that in every battle you go ahead of us and behind us and beside us.
Amen.
We pray for these people who are stood in your house today that the battle belongs to the Lord. We pray against any fear, any anxiety in the coming days and weeks that would discourage them or distract them. And instead, we proclaim the peace of God, the rest of God on them and their households today. Lord, we know that what your word says is true. If we worship you, if we keep our eyes on you, if we pray to you, Lord, if we are in your presence and in around the people of God, you will hear us and rescue us, Lord. So for those people who are going into those battlefield moments, Lord, show them your unbelievable, mighty power, Heavenly Father. We give you full permission. Blow their minds with what you can do, God. We pray, God, that even after these battles, that they will come and give testimony and say, look what the Lord has done. We commit them and submit them to you, Lord. Bless them and have your way. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give them a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's the fourth and final one when you don't know what to do. The enemy brings blessing.
Ooh.
Quoted it already. Psalm 23:15. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What did we read? King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. So everyone's dead and everything's left. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder, there was so much blessing, that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. They think they're going into a fight. And what they walk into is immeasurable blessing. And it's like God does this, an Uno reverse card. Anyone play Uno?
Yes.
If you haven't, you haven't lived, yeah? But this card game, Uno, the aim of it is to get rid of all your cards, but they have these special cards, and this reverse one changes the way that the game is played. So it could be myself and Elma and Paddy, and then back to me, but I put down this reverse card, and it changes the direction to Paddy, to Elma, to me. And when I was reading this portion of scripture, the Lord spoke to me about the preparation for the three armies that were coming against them. They had to lug all the gold and silver and tents. They had to ride all the horses. They had to bring all the food. And every mile, they're thinking that they're going to steal from Judah. Every mile, they're thinking they're going to kill the people of Judah. Every mile, they're thinking they're going to destroy the kingdom. Who else steals, kills, and destroys? The enemy. And God puts down this Uno reverse card. God is laughing at them and going, eh-eh. Not a hope. What you think you're going to steal off them, they're actually going to get off you. It's going to be a blessing. You think that you're going to kill them, but actually you're going to kill each other. And the kingdom of God and the people of God will not be destroyed. God destroys them, you can't come against the kingdom of God. Can I say to people here today, you might look at the enemies in your life and say they have this and that, but the Lord can put down that Uno reverse card. That's not biblical, obviously, we know. But he can turn what you think is going to be a crisis into the biggest blessing ever. Amen. It's your battle into blessings.
Amen.
And here's my last point. For the people of Judah, the people of God, which I think are ye today, people of God, the work wasn't fighting, the work was receiving. They show up to fight. They didn't know what they were showing up to. The Lord told them, stand firm, you won't have to fight. But I wondered, did they question it? Doesn't say they did, but if it was me, I'd be going, lads, what are we getting into? But they show up and it's 3 days of gathering the blessing that they couldn't even imagine. And for people who are facing battles, I believe the Lord is preparing you. The ones who are facing it in the coming week or month, and you've honoured the Lord. These battles aren't because of your consequences and poor decisions. These are battles that you weren't looking for. But I believe the Lord would say, you're going in thinking you're going to be fighting, but actually the work you're going to be doing is receiving. You need to change your attitude and your posture, because God is going to blow your socks off. He's going to bless you so much you need people around you to help you. He's going to bless you so much that you're going to be leaving that place and rejoicing. Come on, my sisters down the back. Come on, Joy, I hear you, babes. The last verse we read was, they entered into God's peace and entered into God's rest. I said at the start, the blessing, the victory, isn't the gold and silver and tents. The blessing and victory is God's peace and God's rest. You cannot buy that. You can't earn that. So whatever battle you're facing, we see it with the people of Judah and King Jehoshaphat. All the way through, they honour the Lord. Not once do they fall, do they question. They pray, they fast, they praise, and they give thanks. Even before the battle, they give thanks. And afterwards, they return to the presence of God at the temple, and they give thanks again. Whatever battle you're facing, make sure you have God every step of the way. Not just when you're about to get into it, but after it. That you come to the house of God and say, thank you, Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, will you stand to your feet? We're going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to pray. Can I ask everyone to close their eyes here in this place? Just give people privacy. Bow our heads, close our eyes. As the worship team are coming together, we always want to give people an opportunity here at Grace to get right with God. If you are here today and you know that you're not right with God, maybe you're far from him, or you've drifted, or maybe you're here and it's the first time where you're going, I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, with every eye closed, giving people privacy, just give people privacy wherever you're at. If that is you here in the room today, I want to get right with God. Do you want to throw a hand up in the air and throw it back down? I see your hand. 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 Hallelujah. We have many hands in the room here today. Praise God. What I want us to do is everyone to pray together, because everyone can get the gift of salvation. Everyone can get the gift of eternal life. So brothers and sisters, let's pray together. Repeat after me. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess that you are Lord. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I don't want to do it alone. Be my Savior. Be my God. And help me. Thank you for all that you do. I trust you today. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. We give them a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was lots of people put up their hands in the room. If that was you, hear me very clear. Don't leave this place today without going downstairs to our Connect desk in the cafe. We have a free Gospel of Mark and a devotion. Those are your next steps. Do not wait till next Sunday to come back to church to talk to God. Those are physical, practical tools that can help you with your journey with God. God is every day, amen?
Amen.
Not just a Sunday. Here's our second prayer, brothers and sisters. If you are fighting any battle of any kind, you are in the presence of God right now, and you're with the people of God right now. I'm fighting battles. And what we read was King Jehoshaphat got on his knees and he bowed before the Lord. And the people did the same. I'm not inviting people to come up because the place won't hold it. But if you want to humble yourself before the Lord and ask for his help in whatever battle you're facing, do you want to kneel wherever you're at in the room? Let's kneel. And as we do, we're going to sing a song about God's presence, Holy Spirit, and then we're going to pray.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is Lord, our hearts so full to be
King and the people of Judah did. They put their head to the ground. Physically, you are humbling yourself before the Lord. You're saying, God, I am so much lower than you. So if you're able to do that, you want to do that as we pray. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that whatever battle we are facing, you are going to win. You win the battles, Lord. I pray over every single person who has humbled themselves before the living God in the house of the Lord, that you would see their hearts right now, Lord. You know their pain. You are the God who sees. See their worship before you today, Lord. We pray over every situation, every battle, every fight, Lord. And we ask that your instructions would direct us. Your word says that the Lord directs our steps. Heavenly Father, let us not fall or stumble, but keep to what your word has said. I pray, God, that you would deliver people, that you would deliver them from these battles, Lord, that when they show up to fight, the battle would already be won. We pray, God, that miracles would happen. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give people strength and resilience to keep their eyes on you, to not be distracted, Lord. And we pray here today that your Holy Spirit would be their joy. As I was praying today, I was praying early this morning for this word, and the Lord reminded me just of a word that I had last year at the same time. Brothers and sisters, we are about to be 6 months into the year, and you're about to go into the second half of the year. And God wants to remind you of the prayers that you prayed to him on New Year's Eve. Some of them were battles, and the Lord is reminding you, I'm still in the battle. I'm still fighting for you. For others of you, we've strayed. We've fallen short. What we've asked God to do, we haven't held up our prayers. And it's time to get right with God today. Hallelujah. The Lord always receives us. So I pray for all of us, Heavenly Father, that as we started the year and we pray to you, Lord, as we enter the second half of the year, we still pray to you, God. We still trust you, Heavenly Father. I pray that whatever we've asked of you this year, Lord, if it's according to your will, let it happen. Let it come through, Lord. But I pray for those of us who've strayed on our side. Heavenly Father, we repent and we come back to you. And we ask for your grace and your mercy. And let us stand in the house of the Lord at the end of the year and give praise for all that you have done. Heavenly Father, we believe your word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We trust what you say. We love you no matter what. We're not loving you, God, because what you do for us. You've already paid it all. You've already done it all.
Hallelujah.
But yet you care about every single detail of our lives.
Hallelujah.
So we come and give thanks to you. And here's what we're going to do now, brothers and sisters. For those of us on our knees, the people bowed, but then we read about the two clans of Levites. They rose to their feet and they thanked God. So let's raise to our feet wherever we're at. Come on. And we're going to thank God with a loud clap and a shout of praise, just as they did. Let's thank the Lord. You can't see the victory. You don't know how you're going to win the battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. That's what you walk in today. Brothers and sisters, may the week ahead of you be a blessing. Let God put his angels around you. But make sure every step is with God this week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.